Your Locked On Canadiens, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for making Locked On Canadiens your first listen of the day, every day. We are free and available on all podcasting platforms, and today's episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. The holidays are right around the corner, and finding the perfect gift is tricky. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter NHL into the search bar to order the perfect gift package this season. I am one of your hosts. I am Scott Matla, and for our 500th episode, I am joined, as always, by the active stick, Laura Saba. And Laura, before we get into the fun thing, we have to talk about the team that we're paid to cover, the Montreal Canadiens, who did their best to try and ruin our 500th episode ever.
See, that was the thing. We had a lot of trouble deciding what to do for our 500th episode. We didn't realize, or I didn't realize personally, I'll take the blame on this one, is that it was a post game. And the Montreal Canadiens did nothing to celebrate our team or our you know, to help us celebrate our achievement. We survived 500 episodes. I honestly, here's the thing with the team, is that we've discussed how it wasn't just management. The coaching staff has a bit to blame as well, or quite a bit to blame as well. And now changes are happening. We don't know how soon things will take place. They promised an exhaustive search. We're going to talk about this in our second segment today, what Jeff Molson said in his press conference and all that. In terms of tonight's game, it was not surprising. We saw more of the same. They aren't playing Caulfield nearly enough. They're playing guys based on what they think that the guys should be like, and they're not playing with reality. When you have an offensive situation, for example, power play, only playing Cole Caulfield, what, like 10 seconds on it, 15 seconds on it? That is not a strategy for winning. Playing Michael Pezzetta more than Cole Caulfield, when Caulfield is the one who's responsible for scoring goals, not a winning strategy. Playing Sami Niku in certain situations and not in others, not a winning strategy. This team isn't just dysfunctional in terms of the front office. It is dysfunctional on the ice. The good news is, and again, we always try here not to be gratuitously negative. The good news is, if you look at these players, if they have a better system, better coaching, they won't be this bad. I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters, but they won't be this bad. The other silver lining here is that, you know, I put a poll on Twitter asking, would you hire Guy Boucher? And a lot of people answered, you know, it's time for a coaching change, but why now when they have the opportunity to get a high draft pick? But at the same time, it's just not fun to watch the games, and we want to have fun, right?
And that's the thing, is it's not fun. Like, I can handle the Habs losing stupidly if it was like 5-4. We've said it how many times this year. If you're going to lose, at least lose interesting. Watching the beats who are watching this game in person, what I was watching on TV, it's a mess. One, the Canucks suck and they're terrible. And I say that as a Habs fan who acknowledges my team is somehow even worse than they are. There's no organization to this team. We're 500 episodes in, and I feel like we spent a good chunk of it going, well, what the hell's going on? Fix it. Like, I don't know what to tell this team. Like, Caulfield not being on power play one is fine if you put him on a second unit that makes sense, but you're pairing him opposite of Josh Anderson, whose strength is playing with speed, not passing the puck in a cycle game. That's not his style. Josh Anderson should be out there on quick changes if the puck gets cleared out and hitting him in stride so he can create space. Nothing the coaching staff does screams, hey, we know what we're doing. The team's disjointed and a mess. And the only time good things happen is when players just went, you know what? I'm breaking free of whatever this system is. You saw Caulfield kind of circle the zone. You saw Sami Niku turn on a dime and go on a rush to the other end carrying the puck. And Matthias Norlander started at his own red line or his own goal line and took off through the neutral zone, almost made it into the offensive zone, trying to make things happen. And people aren't, there's no, nothing happening because everyone's just standing still. Everyone looks lost. And sooner or later, you just kind of go, it's not a system anymore. The coach doesn't have a goddamn clue. And it's a mess. Hire someone in the interim that's going to do something, because this is, this quite frankly, isn't it. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable to watch. It's not hockey. It looks like beer league shinny right now. And you're the Montreal Canadiens, not a bunch of 30 somethings who just got off work a couple hours ago and want to have beers after the game. Like, figure it out. Even if you're not winning, at least build something, please.
Right. And that's the thing. And people keep talking, they're making jokes, right? I've made this joke as well. Is that all these young players like Norlinder, Ryan Poehling, you see Michael Pezzetta, you can count Caulfield in there. And you see them play really well. When the young guys are on the ice, you see good things. People keep worrying that this system or lack thereof is going to hinder their development. And development is such a big buzzword in Montreal right now, especially with the management changes. I also worry that the lack of discipline, the lack of a system, the lack of a cohesive philosophy or unit is going to delay the development of these players. I don't think they're in grave danger or anything like that, but they could progress to a higher level at a quicker, like, you know what I mean? They can attain their potential much faster in a much more efficient manner if only the in-game strategy was better.
I feel like I've given up on just hoping that in-game adjustments happen. Like, I'm sure Dominique Ducharme is a nice enough guy and everything, but he just kind of puts his hands up and he doesn't have a plan B. Like, it's like a soccer manager. Like, I've watched a lot of bad managers in soccer. My team was in the championship for a while where if their plan A, which was pass it to the really good striker and hope he scores, doesn't work, their plan B doesn't have any teeth to it. And eventually you just get tired and you sack them. And sooner or later, that's going to happen here. And based on Jeff Molson's words and everything we've heard so far, Jeff Molson's going to have, or not Jeff Molson, Jeff Gordon now is going to have, you know, full autonomy to do what he wants with this team. And we're going to talk about that coming up next. And maybe we will get some coaching changes, but we'll talk on that in a moment. The holidays are always tough to find gifts for friends and families, but luckily, at least in my experience, nothing is better than Omaha Steaks, and the holidays are right around the corner, so if you're ever struggling, check them out. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. And if you go to omahasteaks.com and enter NHL into the search bar, you can order the perfect gift package. For $99, you'll get 24 entrees like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignon, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. When you use code NHL, you'll also get an additional 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free with your order. You heard reports about shortages and shipping delays, so don't wait. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com, and you're going to get 8 free burgers when entering the code NHL. Achieve gifting greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, and 100% guaranteed. And remember, that's keyword NHL at omahasteaks.com. As always, folks, thank you so much through 500 episodes for making us your first listen of the day every single day. We are free and available on all podcasting platforms. So, Jeff Molson had himself a press conference today, which we all figured sooner or later was going to happen with the hire of Jeff Gordon behind the bench in Montreal. And honestly, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, he was expected to say. We needed a fresh start. The organization needed a fresh start. We need to be better at drafting, better at developing, and better at supporting our players to arrive at their potential. And they are making a critical change by buying a medical team, building a medical team dedicated to the mental health of players. Given what Carey Price just went through, and I'm sure what other players have gone through, not just in Montreal, but in hockey, this is a huge step forward. I'm sure, I know they have a sports psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm never sure which one it is on staff. Building a dedicated team to kind of help these guys go through whatever they might be going through, especially right now, is so critical because you have young guys who might get down on themselves. You have older guys who are, you know, struggling through injuries or slumps or whatever. Having a dedicated mental health staff around is a huge, huge thing, not just for the on-ice product, but these players as human beings. And I got to say, I hope that this becomes a bigger thing. And this is a, I hope they, you know, take the time, get the right people in there. And I hope it spurs other teams to do the same thing.
I'm in full agreement with you there. One of the things is that part of the development is definitely part, like is definitely teaching these players how to exist as players, especially in a market like this. It's not just in Montreal. It is something that is sports-wide. It's not just, you know, NHL. It's not just, but in Montreal, people talk about the spotlight and the pressure and all of that. And there's also the other argument that people bring up that we haven't heard in a couple of years, but I would say things like, you know, when Alex Galchenyuk was here, it was considered a big deal. When the Kostitsyns were here, there's a lot of talk about Montreal's nightlife and partying scene. And, you know, it's a good place to be a young person with a lot of money. That's not going to change. But I think part of it is also that when you are in a situation where you have all of those available to you a lot of times, and I think that it's you can't blame that for 100% of when people don't reach their potential, but there's definitely an opportunity for young players to get derailed a lot of times. Like, you do get caught up, and it's something that, you know, like a more mature player is professional enough to play through it. Like, people always talk about, oh, in the old days, they used to party all night and then they used to win Stanley Cups. It's not the old days anymore. And you don't have that. I'm not saying everybody has to be Nathan MacKinnon and, you know, and ban carbs from the vicinity or anything like that. But I do think that players being able to sort of keep an even keel while enjoying, like, they're young, they're rich, they're successful, fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying that, but it could get to a point where it does derail your career. So I do think that there has been a criticism like that in the market for many, many years. So I think that's part of it. The other part is literally just the pressure of what you have to do. And I think up until Carey Price finally, you know, asked for help, a lot of people just think that if you do play in Montreal, if you do withstand the pressure somewhat, if you are like Carey Price and you have the outward appearance of calm, cool, collected, unflappable, that's the norm, or that's something where it happens and, you know, he was able to rise above it or whatever. And it turns out that no, he's actually been in denial about what a dark place he's been in. And he said it himself, right? So I think that wellness aspect of it can't be discounted. There also could be mismanagement of injuries in the past that maybe that was hinting at. I don't know. I keep thinking to, you know, the number of injuries that Shea Weber played with and things like that. And if they have a dedicated wellness staff, maybe they say, you don't go out on the ice like that. You know, maybe you're hearing a lot about what Robin Leonard said about, you know, indiscriminately giving players pills and things like that without prescription. There's a lot that's wrong with the way that sports teams take care of their players. Like, on the one hand, they have extremely up, you know, state-of-the-art facilities and extremely expensive experts and resources at their fingertips to take care of these people, like when they're recovering after a game or things like that. And then you turn around and there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that is not healthy. It's not okay. So I think that in itself, like that, just the creation of a department like that in itself is going to make a huge difference. But the fact that he singled out drafting, he singled out development, and he singled out wellness, I think those are three things where it's clear that this was not a spur of the moment decision. It's not a situation where, you know, it all came to a head this weekend. He clearly had thought about it a lot. He clearly had made a very careful decision. He's decided to bring in somebody who, by all accounts, is really good at relationship building. He's good at making decisions. He's good at bringing people together. He's got a lot of not just contacts and things like that, but a lot of expertise. I think the choice that he made was a really good choice. And he said that he talked to a lot of people about it and all of that. He's clearly done his homework. Jeff Molson has done his homework. His press conference was, I think, for me, a very, very positive one. I saw a lot of people praising him and all of that. And it's like, yeah, that was a really good press conference because he knew what he was going to do. It's probably been brewing for a while. He made his decision. It was chaotic over the weekend, but when you listen to him talk, it's clear that it wasn't a spur of the moment decision. It wasn't, the decision was not arrived at as chaotically as it played out.
No, and I'm reading more of the quotes is that, you know, Bergevin and Gordon have been in contact for 10 days. Molson literally waited that he wasn't going to dismiss Mark Bergevin while he was still recovering from COVID, which I think is a fair thing to do. They don't want a Gerard Gallant, a guy who's, you know, ill with a virus right now. Gordon's going to oversee everything. And I think the biggest thing is, Molson says, I'm not afraid of the word rebuild. And I think it's something our fans should not be afraid of as well. There's no other changes coming in the front office right now, but Jeff Gordon and the new GM will have the ability to make any decisions, including the newly extended coaching staff. And I think that's key here because that's, I think, holding this team back right now. And I'm really interested to see, one, who the GM is. We've heard Daniel Bouillier. We've heard Vincent Dampus, who actually tonight on the pregame show on RDS said, no, I don't want the job. Patrick Waugh is basically disqualified because he can't work in the two-man team because he's Patrick Waugh. I'm really interested to see Matthew Darche has been thrown around a lot as well, as is Martin Madden Jr. There's a lot going on, but the fact that Gordon and them have the ability to work and do whatever they want. Jeff Molson basically said, if you want to glass this team and start over, go ahead. They haven't said we are doing a full rebuild where pieces are going to start getting shipped off. They're going to sit down, they're going to talk with the GM, and they're going to see where they're at, which is why I think it's good that they made this move now. They have time to analyze the team, the AHL team, players, coaches, everything, and then make a decision heading into the trade deadline. Because if they're going to go rebuild, hold on to your butts, because there's almost no one on this team who I would consider safe then in that point. We saw what Gordon did in Boston when given the chance. We saw what he did in New York when he said he was doing a full rebuild. It's going to be interesting, but we're not going to be depressing anymore. We're going to move on to the next thing. It is our 500th episode. We are going to be celebrating, and we're just going to kind of reminisce on how we've done this for 500 episodes and all the insanity that entails. So thank you, everyone, and we will be back with that in one moment. BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues their march into the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new, updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code Locked On to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So like we've said and like we've teased for the last, week and a half, two weeks, month, entire season, today is our 500th episode of Locked On Canadiens. It is insane to both of us, I think, that we've gotten this far, because when we started this and then we had the pandemic season, and Laura and I kind of looked around and went, this is hard, you know, and here we are, what, a year, 2 years later, 2.5 years later, we are 500 shows in. We have a Stanley Cup final run. We have GM firings. We have coach firings. We have reprehensible draft picks. We have nonsense. We have Jeff Petrie pooping too hard. We have Josh Anderson eating gas station sushi, allegedly. Laura, it's been 500 episodes, and I have to say thank you so much for being not only the best co-host I could ever ask for, but one of the best friends I could have ever asked for, because without your help and guidance in a lot of this, this show never goes as far as it does. For those who don't really know, Laura is very good at corralling our guests and using her connections to find people to help bring you the best possible episodes. I'm over here to make poop jokes and talk about prospects. It's a very good relationship, and we're hoping we've got another 500 episodes in the tank for you after this. Because if we get to 1,000, I don't know how we're doing it, but we're getting Saku Koivu on this show. Come hell or high water, I will fly to Finland myself, wake Laura up at the ass crack of dawn, and record a show with that man if it comes to it. So That's my spiel, and I just want to thank everyone so much for that.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past you to fly all the way to Turku and stock Saku. No, you know what? I would be so happy and proud if we reached 1,000 episodes, because as you said, this stuff is hard. It's not easy. We do a daily podcast and you can't please everyone all the time. So we've had people not be so nice about us for the most part though. And this is the part that I'm going to be really, really grateful for, is we've had our listeners really, really respond well to us, whether you're sending us mailbag questions, whether you're just telling me you listened to the show the other day and you thought it was good, or you disagreed with something, or, you know, we've had really, 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 really positive interactions with most of our listeners. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm just going to echo what Scott said. Honestly, we talked about this in the Locked On NHL Hosts group chat. I'm always talking about how I have the best co-host, and I do. I really, really do. It's very, very hard to find somebody that you work well enough with that you can trust them to do their share of the work, and they can trust you to do your share of the work, and you have different strengths and you both know what your own strengths and weaknesses are, and you can sort of bounce that off of each other. And you know, that what you hear from our dynamic, a lot of people say, you know, we've got great chemistry on the show and all of that. It is because we truly are real life friends. And we've known each other for a while, but like, I think doing this show really made us good friends. And I also just think that if you're ever going to do any kind of any work or endeavor or project or whatever you're going to do, if you're going to do it with any other people, you have to make sure you have an honest, respectful, equal partnership. And I feel so lucky that I have that. But at the same time, like, I still can't believe that we've made it 500 episodes. And I can't even, like, if you ask me what is your favorite moment on the show, I truly would not be able to tell you. We've had some amazing guests that we're so grateful for. Like, truly, you know, we talk about, like, every time we have a guest on the show, after we listen back while we're editing, we're always sending each other messages being like, wow, that was so awesome. That was so great. We've had that. We've got the support of so many friends, so many family members, people who don't even like the Canadians, but they'll still listen to our show to be supportive. And I, like, there's so many people that I'm grateful for. There's so many opportunities that we've had, like, to cover a Stanley Cup final, but from a fan perspective, so you get to be fun and you don't have to pretend to be objective. I think that for me was amazing. That was one of the most amazing experiences. We've also had a lot of people help out when one of us has been away, and we're grateful for those people as well. But don't forget that because it is our 500th episode, the way we decided to celebrate was to do a giveaway. We're like, all right, we can get somebody, but you know what we're gonna do instead is we're gonna do a giveaway. And the way it's gonna work, I'm going to mention it if you haven't listened to the last couple of episodes, is that for the next five episodes, so episode 501 to episode 505, there will be a keyword sprinkled randomly in the episode. We will tell you what the keyword is. We'll say this is the keyword for the giveaway. And at the same time, we wanted to support some friends of ours. So the giveaways will be, there's two. You could win two if you do the keyword giveaway. And one of them is a t-shirt of your choosing from 514 Shirts. The other one will be a mask or a scrunchie from Hey Shay on Etsy. So you know, Shayna Goldman's been on the show. She's phenomenal. If you follow either of us on Twitter or Facebook, you'll know that we've bought stuff, or she sent us stuff as well from Hey Shay. And she's so good. So that could be one of the things. And then on Twitter, we're giving away stickers from JD Young Designs on Etsy. So what you have to do for the, like, I guess the grand prizes, we'll call them, is you have to listen to the next five episodes and then email us the keywords, all five of them, in an email to lockedoncanadians@gmail.com. And, we will make it, like, out of all the entries, or the correct entries, we will do a randomized draw. And for the Twitter giveaway, you just watch out for the tweet that says you'll win these stickers if you follow and retweet, and you just follow and retweet. And in the meantime, I'm going to turn it back to Scott so he can wrap up our 500th episode.
For those who do want to see me suffer with the Flaming Hot Cheeto Mountain Dew, that video is going up Today, when you were listening to that Tuesday, I didn't realize this was a 7:30 game when we were recording this, and I want to go to bed after I'm editing this episode, so I have to work in the morning. So Tuesday night will be the Mountain Dew video episode. Laura and I are trying to figure out a way in which we can post that video either live to Twitter and hang out with people or something like we used to do in the Spotify green rooms. But before we go, Laura, did we have a message from anybody else besides JD from the Ducks or no?
We only have one friend on the Locked On Network and it's JD from the Ducks show.
Well, everyone else, I hope you feel bad about this and you should all send us praise tomorrow because how dare you? I'm not going to say we carried the network because that would be extremely rude of me, but like it was us or the Leafs who would have won a playoff series last year. And I think you should all thank us for that. So
yes, we can take credit for that.
Oh, I will 100% take credit for that. Locked On Canadians is the reason why the Canadians went to the Stanley Cup final because they didn't want to be liable for a man setting himself on fire in Western New York. So
although you are going to drink a flaming hot Mountain Dew. So
Carly is so worried, by the way, she's like, here's some Tums. Maybe you should sleep in the bathroom. And I'm like, it's not that bad. Come on. Like I survived like nuclear chicken wings, basically. It's going to be, that video is going to be awful. Cause I don't even know what color it looks like yet. And I'm sure it's not going to be great, but, before we go here, I'm going to play the message from JD Hernandez from Locked On Ducks.
Hey guys, JD Hernandez here from Locked On Anaheim Ducks, congratulating you on your 500th episode of Locked On Habs. Wow. From small boy goals to Laura finally admitting that she loved former Duck Corey Perry all the way to the Stanley Cup final, you both have done a tremendous job talking about the Bleu, Blanc et Rouge for 500 shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm delighted to have you both as colleagues for the past 26 months, and I look forward to the coming episodes. I think the best is yet to come. Now, Scott, with this being episode number 500, I think it's time to do something special for our amusement, don't you think? I hope you have that Mountain Dew Flamin' Hot can ready. Once again, my sincere congratulations from Locked On Anaheim Ducks. Quack, quack, quack.
JD, thank you so much for your support, man. You've been a wonderful friend and colleague to us here at Locked On. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much. The fact that we got to 500 episodes and you're all sticking by and you're all here still, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts because as much as Laura and I, you know, split the duty trying to get this show up and running every single day, we are nothing without you and your support. It makes it worth it, even if the Canadians try their best to absolutely ruin everything. So again, thank you for making Locked On Canadians your first listen every day. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Canadians. Coming up on our next episode, we have the wonderful Sean Fitzgerald. He had so much time for us. We had a really nice in-depth talk with him about the state of hockey and just youth hockey and everything around that. You're not going to want to miss that. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms.